This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on to our next story. So Minister Gobind Singh Deo has slammed blogger Rajapitra Kamarudin's racist remark. We're not going to repeat it here. Against veteran policeman Dato' Sri Amar Singh, calling it uncalled for and saying that there needs to be laws to regulate hate speech that would have extraterritorial reach to prosecute offenders from overseas.
This is going to be pretty difficult to employ.
Yeah, I'm very curious about how this is going to work. That's why I wanted to tackle the story today, because it's so important. And yet, when it comes to how the world works online, it just seems almost impossible.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that being said, I think, you know, hate speech also has to be defined clearly, right? Is a racist remark considered hate speech? Or is hate speech something that is purely insightful? And I think therein lies the remark, therein lies the problem, right? How to define hate speech before it sets us off more slippery slopes. That being said, I think the best way to handle Rajapitra is to completely ignore him.
I was going to say, don't feed the troll.
Don't feed the troll, right? And that's exactly what he does from time to time. It's clickbaity writing, it's clickbaity headlines, it's clickbaity essays. And for the most part, I think if you keep quiet, if you disagree with it, then just don't share it, don't click it, don't read it.
Yeah, and just don't give it more attention than it needs, I think. And we'll get to that a little bit, especially about the definitions of what hate speech is. We will ask our guest that a little later, but for the time being, we have Malini on the line to talk about caning. Malini, what do you say? Hi, Malini.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm against caning. I don't think any kind of physical punishment is warranted. I don't.
Sorry, Malini, we seem to have lost you. Oh, there you are. Could you repeat that? We lost you for a while. Bad connection.
Oh, sorry. What I said is I don't support caning. I don't think any kind of physical punishment is warranted. I do think, though, that there needs to be a better way to get these people to pay back to society. Mm-hmm. So perhaps, you know, the prisons need to think about a way of how we can get these people to do some work and pay for their time in prison.
Right. I guess that's a very interesting option.
I mean, I think that's close to what you were saying earlier, Uma, the idea that we should think further about punishment as opposed to kind of falling back to what we've always known. With that said, on WhatsApp, we have gotten a little more. Lim saying, what about the pain that's been caused to millions of Malaysians over the next few decades in terms of hardship and lost opportunities? YOLO. So why not caning besides other measures in such cases?
Exactly. But is it an eye for an eye? Why are we going back to the Old Testament?
Someone else, I support caning as a punishment for heinous crimes like the raping of minors. Prison is not good enough for them. I think a lot of this is coming out of very real, very understandable anger. But having said that, I just can't find it in me to support the notion of caning. It's just not happening.
You and me both.
Yeah. We will continue our discussion about anti-hate speech laws and how that will take place. Let's cross over now to lawyer Fung Cheng Leong, who focuses on social media and cyber laws. Cheng Leong, thank you so much for joining us on the program and for holding. Is there currently any formal or legal definition for hate speech? What does or should it encompass?
So far, there's no legal definition of hate speech. But there are some laws here and there that touches hate speech in Malaysia. But if you look at the general definition of hate speech, it's basically a speech that attacks a person or a group based on attributions such as race, religion, ethnic origin, national origin, sex, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity, so on and so forth. Basically, if you attack a category of a person, it is considered as hate speech. But the issue is what amounts to a criminal hate speech. So in certain countries, to amount to hate speech, there must be some form of incitement of hatred or promotion of harm against a certain person or a category of person. But if you insult, let's say in the US, it's a very much a place of freedom of speech. You can basically say a lot of things that are uneasy to a certain, let's say, a religion. I think many years back, there was a student pastor who was telling everyone that you should burn the religious text of the, you know, a certain race. So in the US, it is no problem. But of course, in Malaysia, you will probably be caught by the Sedition Act.
Right. So is there a way to understand what the distinction is between, say, an insult and hate speech?
Oh, that's hard. Yeah. Well, hate speech could include insult also, but you know, whether that insult amounts to hate speech is two different things. So I think the most common example of a certain people of a certain race are lazy. You know, a certain people of a certain race are all cheats, or a certain people of a certain race are all snakes. So we can always say that in public. You know, some people say it jokingly, some people say, you know, when they really mean it. But that, I think, you know, because they've said it so long and it's part of parcel of culture, if to me, that is perfectly fine for me to, I mean, to say it out loud in the public. But for me, it would be higher threshold if, let's say, the speech actually incites hatred and harm against a certain race, that which has a lot of politicians have done in the past.
You mentioned how some hate speech could fall under the Sedition Act. Talk to us about that. How would a specific law for anti-hate speech, so to speak, differ from what's stipulated in the Sedition Act?
Well, currently there is a specific provision there which makes it a statement seditious if it promotes feeling of ill will and hostility between different races or classes of population of Malaysia. So that amounts to a seditious statement. But here, let's say in Robin's case, which he has said where Raja Petra has insulted basically the use of servant of a certain people, sort of person, that of course does not seem to fall within the Sedition Act. So the definition there is slightly tighter. In certain places, it is even loosely defined where certain statement, let's say insult, it could amount to hate speech. But here in the Sedition Act, it must first promote feeling of ill will and hostility between different races or classes. And we are talking about races or classes. Here, it could be, there are other categories of here as well. For example, the sex, the disabilities, the orientation, and so on and so forth.
So a popular argument against the introduction of an anti-hate speech law is that it could be misused to curtail freedom of speech within the country. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, some people argue that it should not be criminalized. Criminalizing it in a form that curtail free speech. I've seen other countries as well where they've actually introduced some form of body, and let's say a national harmony body, if they complain, let's say, against a certain portal or website, that this portal or website promotes ill feeling, and promotes hate speech. They refer it to that body, and that body will decide whether it is hate speech or not. If they decide hate speech, then they could recommend what actions to be taken. For example, blocking at a website, charging the person, recommendation for charging that person, and so on and so forth. So rather than outright criminalization of the hate speech, which will affect freedom of speech.
Okay, so YB Gobind is mooting for a law that would extend beyond Malaysia. Of course, in this case, it's because Raja Petra is said to reside in the UK. What are the challenges in not just creating but enforcing laws against people who live abroad?
Well, the extraterritorial nature of our law has always been around. This is not just an HP type law. We have seen, let's say, Computer Crimes Act, Communication Multimedia Act, all these have extraterritorial nature. But the only issue is how you enforce criminal law, for example. Criminal offence against these people, they are all outside the Malaysia, no, Malaysia, and let's say in China, we do not extradition treaty. If these people, if we do not have a treaty which allows extradition, and in their case, for example, it is not an offence for them to make such statement, then we cannot enforce such laws. So in a way, even though you put it in extraterritorial nature, and the law has no bite to it, yeah, of course, let's say it's an online platform, the best thing we could do is an order by the courts to block the website from being accessed by the members of the public. But that one, yes, if that website has some form of, they commercialize themselves, they make money from advertisement, by blocking the traffic, they have less traffic, visitors, and thus reducing their income, that may hit them commercially. But if those people are not in any manner making any form of income from there, then the law has no bite to it. Of course, then if you look at other positions, where these
statements are all made on Facebook or third-party platforms, for example. So we cannot block Facebook entirely because of those statements. So there's also no bite to it if you block a website. So it's very difficult. Even though you put the extraterritorial, the law has really not much effect to it. Unless the person comes back one day in Malaysia, and then we can arrest them.
Cheng Leong, as we know, there are many grey areas in regulating hate speech and just bad behaviour in general when it comes to online spaces. Are there any forms of, are there other forms of online activity that need to be regulated?
What I realise that is happening these days is I've seen Facebook pages that have been set up to promote some form of hatred towards a certain class of people or certain race or certain, and so on and so forth. One example I could see is there was a page which has criticized the use of other languages by the government. And that Facebook page, they removed the official version, which is the Malay version, and tell the public that the government is only publishing in all languages other than the non-national language. So they create some form of hatred towards the administration. But on top of that, what they did is they went to create further ill will by saying that this is because, and they used a username of a certain race, profile of a certain race, and to say things like, oh, that is because the national language is a very primitive language, all sort of insult towards that. And people really would know that, wow, people of this certain race is insulting my race and my national language. So we could see that there are people creating fake conversations online to promote all this kind of hate, which is hatred towards other people. And I think if there's a law to be introduced, this the law should capture all these kind of offenses as well.
Cheng Leong, thank you very much. That was lawyer Fong Cheng Leong sharing some insights to what's required to propose laws on hate speech. It sounds like there needs to be a lot of due consideration given to what that law would encompass. We would love to know what you think, what you've observed in terms of hate speech. Have you had that directed at you? Let us know. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.